I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. A podcast where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. But before we can chat with any of our amazing guests, it's important to understand where this thinking comes from. The term first 100 days stems from Franklin Delano Roosevelt's presidency during the Great Depression. We all remember learning in school about the New Deal and the immense amount of legislation put into action to get the American people on their feet once again. All in all, during his first 100 days as president, he got 15 bills passed in Congress. This, of course, was after he had called Congress to a special session for 3 straight months. Historians will debate if those bills were really what helped the economy. But regardless, it sets the tone for presidents to follow. So much so that multiple would comment that the most pivotal moments were not in the days after the election, but rather the many more days to follow. This is tested, however, by midterm elections. In only 3 of 22 midterm elections since 1934, has the president's party gained any seats in Congress across both the House and the Senate. And especially in today's political world, having party control of Congress can stall legislation from making it through. So, many might theorize that once the president's party no longer has control, it would make their tenure swing less in their favor. While many past presidents alluded to making headway in their first days in office, President Obama's and Trump's have been discussed at large. In fact, Trump made a speech in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and released an action plan for his first 100 days in office, dubbing it a contract with the American voter. Because he had outlined exactly what pieces of legislation he had wanted to tackle, there were clear benchmarks to look for. News stories, podcasts, and everyday chatter was had because of that pressure of the first 100 days. In the United States, the presidency is just one of 3 equal branches of government: the judicial, legislative, and the president being the executive branch. Since these are 3 equal branches with multiple governmental offices being held, who's to say that the first 100 days of a senator's time in office, your local mayor, or the chief judge of your district isn't just as important? On this podcast, we are so fortunate to speak with many former office holders. Just like we mentioned that the first 100 days are important for people in governmental offices, it's also just as important for people in corporate roles, small business ownership, and other life events. So today, we're speaking with Rebecca Dunn, who works for a large consulting firm in the United States, who works with some of these leaders that are transitioning from maybe high-level management roles to executive roles, C-suite roles, and more. So thank you so much, Rebecca, for being with us today. Would you mind giving us a little bit of background as to who you are and what it is that you do with your company?
Absolutely. Thanks, MK. So as you mentioned, we at our consulting firm work with executives who are transitioning either into a CIO role or from one CIO role at one organization into that role for another organization. So just as you mentioned that the transition time is critical for political figures, it's also critical for corporate figures. So we aim to make that transition a little bit easier by setting up a workshop and doing an interactive day where they can really focus on what's going to be important for those 100 days and how to reach those goals.
And so what made you realize that this was a pivotal time? Was there research for that? Was it something that you learned just coming on the job? What has given it that gravity when it comes for large corporate transitions?
Well, when you think about setting the stage for anything new, it's easier to come in with a good plan right off the bat rather than come in like a tornado and then go back and kind of undo what you've already done. So if you can come in and set the stage and really get off on the right foot, then it eases your future plans. And it also paves the way for you to build some credibility with folks, especially for those who are new to the organization. To kind of build that rapport and some credibility as a new individual.
Do you think it's a lot of one size fits all sort of preparation, or do you have to tailor it for each different company? Because you work with a lot of what you said, like technology companies, right? So mm-hmm. but there's got to be a difference between them, right? Like Tesla is very different from Amazon, which is very different from like Venmo, right?
Absolutely. So critical to making these workshops effective and getting the outputs that these executives need is being able to tailor the workshops. But there are certain elements that that work or are present in all of these workshops. So making sure that you know your stakeholders and know their position relative to your priorities, their support for your priorities, your relationship with that group, that stakeholder group, as well as your own talent within your technology organization. Who can you rely on? Who is in, what are those skills that you have available to you? That kind of stuff translates across every industry.
So like everyone has a lot of the same, they want to make the same good first impression, but it's probably going to look differently for each different company and different employees that they're working with too, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Even everything from your corporate culture and environment. And even within that corporate culture, it might be different for, we had a manufacturing CIO recently who certainly needs to be able to go talk to the board of directors in a very professional setting. They also need to go visit some of the actual like mining sites or manufacturing sites and talk to workers that are, actually working with machinery on the line. So your leadership style, while you continue to have the same priorities, your leadership style needs to be able to vary depending on the organization that you're working for at the moment and the audience that you're speaking to.
So you mentioned workshops a bunch of times in some of your other answers. So when you are doing this preparation with these members of companies, is it workshop style? Like they come into a room and there's snacks and water and then they have a piece of paper and they write down their goals? Or are you working with them one-on-one, going through the history of their company, learning and really preparing for specific goals that they should be focusing on?
So it's a little bit of both of those things, but mostly the first thing. So once we have this, scheduled and we know this executive is coming in for their transition workshop, we're going to do quite a bit of preparation. We need, 6 to 8 weeks lead time so that we can not only prep with that executive, but also we do some stakeholder interviews ahead of time, talking with the individuals that this CIO or CTO is going to be reporting to and some of their peers that they're going to be interacting with on a regular basis. So some of those folks may have been around the organization a lot longer, but those are the important stakeholders. And so we like to get some honest, candid feedback from those individuals, not just on the state of the organization, but what the priorities are, what they think the priorities should be. Mm-hmm. And their general first impressions based on what they know so far about the new executive. So we take that in a very anonymous fashion and provide some themes to the executive during the workshop to say, here's kind of what we're hearing. Does this sound like what you had, in your mind or the things that you've been hearing thus far? And use that as kind of a jumping off point to start the day.
And do they then have a piece of paper and write down what their goals are? Or how would they then take the information that you've been working with them and translate that into a plan?
So we can translate that and use a few different ways to say, all right, we'll talk about, yes, what are your priorities? Getting very tactical at, what are the things that you absolutely need to be doing? Kind of the keep the lights on stuff. And then what are the things that you want to be doing? Where would you like to take the organization and ways that you would like to innovate and sort of shake things up? And then we talk about where relative to all of those things that you're doing, like where are you spending your time right now? And where would you like to be spending your time? And then we can compare that to studies that that our firm and others have done to say, an effective CIO spends X percentage of time, on day-to-day operations while mm-hmm. delegating the rest of those things to their team. And if the person that we're talking to says, well, I'm spending 60% of my time on some of this daily operations activities, then that triggers them to know they need to make some changes in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, who from your staff can you lean on a little bit more heavily? And if the answer is no one, then perhaps the conversation needs to be around, well, how can we, you know, look at your org and your direct reports to say, you know, who is fitting the bill for what you actually need and where mm-hmm. would you potentially need to make some changes?
And when they're looking at all those reports and thinking about what their next steps are going to be, do they have a team around them? Because when it comes to electing someone into office, right, those candidates have a head of campaigns and a head of finances and a head of policy and a head of this. But when you're transitioning from one executive, you know, management position to another, is it just you, or do they have teams, or is that why they hire consulting firms like you?
So in theory, when you, unless this is a brand new position to the organization, you typically inherit the team that came along with your predecessor. It doesn't mean that you have to keep that same team, but it does mean that that's kind of your starting place and your baseline. So depending on what the priorities are, sometimes the new CIO is there because the organization as a whole is headed in a different direction, and perhaps the old CIO was not on board with that new path. So mm-hmm. there's definitely going to be some loyalty to the old regime, if you will, mm-hmm. which sometimes works out totally fine, and they're more than happy to adapt to the new leadership, and sometimes not so much. So definitely part of what we do, not only just assessing the stakeholders and the folks that the CIO works with and for, but also that assessment of who is on your team, how supportive are they, how much can you really rely on them? Can you depend on them to take some of this stuff off your plate so that you can focus mm-hmm. on things that aren't currently being done?
And then do you all work with them through those first 100 days, or do you just set them up on a path and then they just go for it?
Sometimes they will pick a piece of a thing that they'll definitely need help with. Once we help them identify, you know, okay, so you have these, you know, 12 things, these 12 priorities that you know need to get done over the first year. So mm-hmm. when you start to say, you can kind of group those into buckets. And so usually we'll try to get, you know, your top five priorities into a list and say, okay, well, who is your point person for these five things? And if you don't have a main person, then perhaps, like I said, you know, we can talk about your talent pool and help plug some holes with a consulting firm in the short term. But really, you want them to be able to find somebody that's a permanent member of their organization that they can feel comfortable leaning on. So, you know, if it's a short-term fix, then sure, we can absolutely help out with that. Or if there's, you know, an implementation or an upgrade that they would only need that expertise for a short amount of time, that's a perfect candidate for having a consultant firm come in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of these things that are going to be continuing to come up and require some deeper knowledge of the organization, it's best that you find somebody in-house or bring somebody in-house that's going to be able to be your expert and your go-to year over year.
And what would you say are some of the best practices when transitioning into this new role? What do you generally give as advice?
Well, making sure that so we take those, you know, top five priorities and help them determine what's your 30-day plan, what's your 60-day plan, what's your 90-day plan. But then we say, don't stop there. Like once you have this, you know, that first 100 days under your belt, do this process again and figure out what are your you know, what are your next priorities and how are you going to accomplish those? So if you always have some short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals, you always know, you know, am I making progress against these goals? Am I setting myself up for failure by promising too much? But that way you have it in writing, you can pin it up on your board and look at it every day. And mm-hmm. if the CEO comes in and wants to know, okay, well, where are you spending your time? It's really easy because it's right there in front of you and that's what you're doing. And then the other thing is to remind everybody, even at the executive level, that they always still need some support and mentorship. So if that's not somebody within the organization that they can go to, you know, if they're new and you don't know too many other folks in there, join some executive lunching or, you know, joining if they're...
That sounds nice. Can I join that just for fun?
You know, having... Maybe if it's maybe somebody from your old job, just somebody that, mm-hmm. that works as a sounding board, if they're advanced enough in their career that they can join boards, that's an excellent way for executives to meet other executives and network mm-hmm. with them and kind of use their experience, because no matter what you're doing, somebody has probably, been there, done that and experienced it in some fashion and can share mm-hmm. a little bit of that wisdom for you. So, particularly with folks that are new to the organization, making sure that they have some support in place to help them during that transition time.
So then would you say, after doing this a bunch of times with a bunch of people, do you think that the first 100 days of someone's new position really is that vital and important to their success? Or do you think that, like you mentioned, this is something that can be repeated and built on over time? Or maybe a combo of both?
Well, maybe, yeah, I'm going to be a consultant and say a little bit of both. Right. You never get a second chance to make that first impression. So it is really critical to, you know, to come in strong, have a vision for what you're doing and be strong in that first 100 days. But it is, like I said, it's a repeatable process. And if you find success with that methodology, then there's no reason that you can't revisit it and continue to build on that success. It's much harder to go back and kind of unwind what you've done, if you came in, you know, kind of like a tornado. So I do think it's a little bit of both.
Would you say that there's anything that people can take away? I mean, most people listening are probably not CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, but for anyone that is, you know, of a smaller business company or just starting a new role or honestly starting a new life event, what would you say are some of the biggest things that can be translated from, you know, large executive transitions, but to also everyday people life?
Absolutely. So I think there are definitely some themes that translate across all of them. One is to make sure that you know who your stakeholders are, whether they're your customers or whether they're the board of directors, that's still your stakeholders. And that's what's going to drive the growth of your business and therefore your success. So mm-hmm. making sure that you know what's important to them, which is then what needs to be important to you, and built into your business plan. So definitely knowing your stakeholders and again, making sure that you have the right support and basically the right mindset. Maybe you've done this type of work before, in an organization and you're branching off to do your own business, or, you know, whether it's something totally brand new to you, making sure that you are not completely set in your ways of this is the way that it has to be done, mm-hmm. and being flexible to adapt to the changes that will come your way, because things are always changing and you can always learn something new. So I think coming in with the right mindset and just keeping your priorities straight is universal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so, so, so much for chatting with us and giving a little bit of background as to what it looks like higher level. I know we can't be super specific about how it all works, but it's really great to know that this is something that people are thinking about. It's not just mumbo jumbo, like let's set some goals and hope it works. Like people are literally putting a piece of paper on their board to look at and know what they're striving for. Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.